رسول الله حبيب الله شفيع الله نبي الله. He said زملوني زملوني دفروني دفروني. A mighty task has come before me. I need you here with me.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Inspiration Minds is the Mindful Muslim podcast, where we discuss Islam, psychology, mental health, and spirituality. I'm Minha, and today I have Rani Mashuda, a graduate in physiology and pharmacology, now studying medicine, mashallah. Today we'll be discussing issues around identity, but before we start, Mashuda, how are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, Minha, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Good, alhamdulillah. So, Mashuda, could you tell us a bit about yourself and your background?
This awkward question. So I'm a university student, was heavily involved in the Islamic Society whilst I was at university. I guess in terms of hobbies, I like my photography, I like my graphic design. I'm just your standard girl from Birmingham, really.
Okay, mashallah. So what do you think the term identity is made up of?
So I was thinking about this when you told me the topic of this podcast. Honestly, your identity is you. Like, there's no other way of putting it. I think I even Googled identity, and like, your identity is just basically yourself. It doesn't matter what context you put it in, whether it's like your passport, whether it's your ID number at university, whether it's, you know how your family see you. At the end of the day, it's the person that you are inside and outside. And obviously, like, the whole struggles of having an identity is just that balance between getting what's inside and outside, you know, like on a level, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, mashallah. So you mentioned how like identity is literally just you and like passport and university ID and things. So yeah. What does identity mean for you personally, and like what do you feel has shaped your identity?
So identity to me is basically, it's the way I perceive it is the kind of the impact that I leave on people when I meet them. So I don't see identity as the person, like if you look at me and I have like one of the most serious resting faces, like you're not going to be able to grasp my identity. Do you know what I mean? And even similarly, if you talk to me over a text message or whatever, it's not going to portray the person that I am. It's the person that I am when you meet me. And it's, for me, it's important that I give off a good character, because it's, I guess it's something that's also like rooted in Islam. You know, having a good character, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always taught us that, you know, you should always have a good character and sort of portray that. And that's important for me when I meet people, when I interact with others.
Okay, cool. I mean, like, if there are any sociology students listening to this, I mean, I remember when I was in college and we were discussing identity, my teacher was very abstract and said that identity doesn't actually exist. It's made up of the interactions that you have with your, like with yourself, the people around you and your environment. It's those things in life that shapes your identity, I guess. But do you feel like there are any particular things that has shaped your identity or your character that, I mean, like, do you use identity and character synonymously?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like your identity, it's also like your external influences, I guess. Like everyone talks about how much, for example, your friends make a difference on the person that you are. So obviously if you grow up with, you kind of become the company around you. And similarly, like your family has an impact on the kind of person that you are as well. So for me, alhamdulillah, my parents grounded me as a person. But at the same time, like when I was at school or when I was even at university, even like at the age of 18 and onwards, you're constantly changing and shifting with the people around you. And that's why I think it's important to like surround yourself with good people, because at the end of the day, your character becomes that. And then essentially your character is what feeds off your identity. So like it's synonymous, but also they exist individually as well. I don't think they're necessarily mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Okay, mashallah. So, I mean, you kind of spoke a lot about like primary and secondaries, like channeling socialization. So you feel like your parents have grounded you, and then your friends and your academic life has gone on to shape who you are. Yeah. So, I mean, if someone was to say to you, like, I'm having an identity crisis, how would you interpret that? Like, what does that actually mean?
I use this term so much, it's unreal. Identity crisis. Do you know what? I think it's basically when you're not comfortable in your own shoes. Like, I feel like there's a person inside you. This is going to sound really deep, but there's like a person inside you, and like you're not allowing that person to come out for whatever reason that is. Like, for example, if it's like peer pressure, then you're not able to be yourself. I think I read a quote the other day when it was like, do not look for your self-worth in the eyes of other people. It's almost that saying, like, how do I say this? Oh no, this is where my mind goes blank. So identity crisis to me is basically like, you're not comfortable within yourself, right? So you have like this internal self, and you're not allowing it to come out. And you know, you find this a lot. Like, I use this term a lot. I was talking to my friends the other day about it, actually. Like, when everyone goes through an identity crisis at some point in their life, and it's kind of like you're shifting and changing like a chameleon, and you're trying to find your feet. And eventually, like, you do find your feet. It's just that I think everyone has to go through it. And I don't necessarily think everyone talks about it like it's a bad thing, but I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. It's just that at the end of the day, it shapes you as a person.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, you spoke about how, you know, if someone says, like, I'm having an identity crisis, to you, yeah, that kind of means, like, an inner self not being able to be expressed. Do you feel that they're, like, that is affected by a belief system that someone isn't allowed to, like, profess or, you know, accept?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, 100%. Like, if there's, like, some sort of conviction within you and you're not being able to express that, then yeah, 100%, you're like, you know, you're basically in this sort of internal battle with yourself. And I think this is where almost things like having like anxiety and like sort of like going through depression can also occur as well, because, you know, there's like many things affecting you inside your head, and like you're not being able to almost put yourself at ease with being able to express these beliefs and express these convictions. I'm not sure.
To what extent do you feel that fitting in has an effect on like an identity crisis?
Yeah, it has a massive effect. Like I was saying, like, no one wants to be the odd one out. Like, it's almost human nature for us to want to find groups where we can, you know, we can be ourselves. But I don't think necessarily being different is a bad thing. And it's kind of annoying and sad in a way that we've built society in such a way that, you know, people aren't able to express themselves, and, you know, then people don't feel comfortable with expressing themselves. But at the same time, I think also some of that fear comes from inside of us. Like, there's a lot of the times people say, for example, even being a Muslim student, before you start university, everyone says, you know, it's going to be, you know, there's almost this fear that's built inside of you that it's, you know, it's going to be really difficult for you to be a Muslim student. You know, you're going to have all these influences around you, blah, blah, blah. But it's really not that bad. And, you know, whether or not, like, that's because I went to a university in a pretty multicultural city, and I grew up in a pretty multicultural city. So whether or not that makes a difference, I don't know. But part of me thinks that, you know, we build that fear inside of us. And so almost we hinder ourselves before we even give ourselves a chance.
I mean, sometimes when I speak to, you know, Muslim students, just like Muslims in the workforce or Muslims anywhere in public, actually, it's like, you know, sometimes they feel like they have to overcompensate for their identity, essentially, for who they are and what they believe in, because it doesn't gel with what society sort of has. Even in the most multicultural societies, I feel like sometimes there can be even more friction in these kind of societies because there's just so much preference to cater for, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, I know what you mean. Of course we overcompensate because we overthink it in our heads. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely there's an influence from society as well. It's not what, like, the things we do, praying five times a day, yeah, like even doing wudu, like it's not the norm. But also, like, people are very accepting. Obviously everyone has their own opinions and whatnot, but most of the time people are understanding. And if you have, I think sometimes I tell myself, if you have firm conviction within yourself with your beliefs, you know, people will respect you for that. I don't necessarily think that we always have to tell ourselves it's a bad thing. Like you said, it, for example, even like praying at a workplace or praying at university, like when I was younger, I used to think, oh my God, like it's going to be so weird to Definitely. Take that time out to pray for like 5 minutes. Like they're going to think I'm such a weirdo. What the heck? Mm. And then like I got, like now I just, now,
on the floor in the corner.
Yeah, just like put my prayer up. Now I'm just like, guys, I'm going to, like, I'll just tell my group or whatever, I'm just going to pray. And then there's not even a question about it. They respect that you have your beliefs, and they respect that you have, and in a way, sometimes it opens conversation, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. So, I mean, going more back to the topic, so typically, like, an identity crisis, according to Erikson, would mean, like, a change in expected aims or roles in society, or as he suggested, like, a stage of psychosocial development, whereby adolescents are, you know, faced with physical growth, sexual maturity, integrating ideas of themselves and what others think of them, like we just said. So based on that, do you think having an identity or a sense of belonging is actually really that important for young people?
It's difficult because, like, when I think of myself as a young person, it's a massive deal to be able to have a sense of belonging. You want to find your feet somewhere, but you can't do it alone. And I think that's one of the things about growing up, like, It's this weird balance between wanting your own freedom, but also, you know, being reliant as well. So we want to be reliant on a group, but also we want to be ourselves. So it's like this, you're like playing a tug of war with your own mind. But I think, I can't remember exactly what you said about Erikson, but like, I think young people having this sense of belonging, it's important, but I think if young people want to be themselves, they should be able to express that as well. And even like working with young people, I always tell them, like, you know, don't feel like you have to be a different person just because of the people, like a certain type of person just because of the people around you or your peers. Like, if you want to be a certain way, then, you know, be yourself. And, you know, I think young people have amazing scope, and we should never limit them because of these sort of pressures that we put on them and these expectations.
Definitely. I mean, what I was saying about Erikson is his psychosocial development. So, like, where they grew up with physical growth and sexual maturity and things. And, yeah. I mean, like, on that note, it's so important because, I mean, like, girls and boys, they grow at different rates. Like, a group of girls, like, maybe if there's five, three of them will start their period at the same time, you know? Or yeah. if there's guys, some of them might be growing facial hair before the others. Some girls even grow facial hair before their friends. And I think I know growing up, I was a bit of a late blossomer. And when all of my other friends, you know, they were discussing their growth, and they were discussing, like, oh my God, I had this cramp and I had that cramp and I had to buy these pads. And I grew up thinking, like, oh my God, what am I missing out on? I need to, like, overcompensate, and I need to know what they're talking about. Yeah, exactly. And it was only like sort of when I got to my A-level sort of age, and I was just like, you know what, I'm so fed up of trying to fit in with people that I clearly don't fit in with. So I think it's actually accepting, a part of it is actually accepting that underneath all the superficial stuff, you're actually a human being that has your own rate of being, if that makes sense.
Literally, like, you can't speed up something like that, and you can't slow it down either. So I think it's just coming to an acceptance of who you are as well. And I think that's one of the things about like you said, we're human beings. We all grow at different rates. We can't change that. Nothing's going to change. You know, life is set a certain way for us. And, you know, it's one of those things we have no control over. But what definitely. We do have control over is the way we think. And, you know, if we just come to an acceptance that, you know, we are, you know, it is what it is. Then...
I mean, I wish, like, growing, even like my little brother now, like, I always tell him that just because something hasn't happened to you yet, that doesn't mean you're socially excluded. It just means that you're just, you know, you haven't experienced what they've experienced yet. It doesn't mean that it's never going to come. It just means that you haven't got to that level of experience. And I think even like him, like even myself growing up, like I was never allowed out on Friday nights. I wasn't allowed to go out drinking. I wasn't allowed to wear like, you know, immodest clothing and things like that. And, you know, even though I didn't tell myself, oh, I'm going to experience that one day, I just thought, you know, I used to say to myself, then what's the harm if I don't experience that? Yeah, okay, so I won't be able to hold a conversation with XYZ about what they got up to last Friday night, but I can have another conversation about something else, like TV shows. I think it's about not picking and choosing your identity, but being able to adapt to the environment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like adapt to the environment, but not necessarily to the extent where you're basically just trying to fit in, if that makes sense. Like adapt to the environment in a way that's comfortable to you. Like you said, like you don't, like everyone has a different upbringing, and you know you'll be surprised to find out how much similarities you have with people. But also you should learn to like, you know, appreciate the differences. Not if everyone was the same, the world would be a very, very boring place, trust me.
Definitely. I mean, that actually moves me on to my next question. Like, it's quite common for Muslims, despite how much we want to talk about it, we are facing identity issues. A lot of the younger generation have no idea who they are and where they fit in. Or, you know, there's two extremes. Like, it's either they're very, like, very comfortable with who they are, they have so much conviction. Then you have the like, other side where it's a bit like, oh, I don't know if I should be here, I don't know if I should be there, I don't know if I should pray in front of this person, I don't know if I should be doing this. But even within the ummah, like subhanAllah, there are so many social categories as it is, and then we have more refined ones, like precisely, like specifically for Muslims. So you have, you know, the Salafis, you have the modern Muslims, you know, you have the bloggers, the pranksters, you know, even the undercover Muslims and all sorts. I mean, how do you think that impacts us and the generations to come?
I genuinely dislike these labels so much. My opinion on any of this, right, and I've said this for forever, for as long as I can think, is that Islam is a journey. Islam is a journey for everyone. Everyone's on, like, to even think that, you know, you are better than someone else, it means it's not a good thing. And like, I think we have to learn to appreciate that, okay, maybe there are different, obviously one of the beauties of Islam is that there are so many different differences, but that's going to be inevitable after so long, after, you know, like, you know, the revelations have come. Think, like, what's written in the Quran hasn't changed, and those rulings are those rulings, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, like, obviously, with all the differences of opinion, I think we should just learn to respect one another, and I think by calling each other names and, like, saying that, you know, boxing people up in categories, that's not a good thing, because, mm-hmm. you know, like your identity can change, this part of your identity can also change. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think it's really quite sad that we do this to one another. It's really what causes a massive divide in a time when really we should all, you know, be peace with one another.
Yeah. And like, you know, exactly what you said about like division, that is so true. I mean, a lot of us grow up thinking like, oh, should I be this type of Muslim or should I be that type of Muslim?
It's
like,
so annoying.
Well, exactly. Well, like, actually, I like how this Muslim does her hijab, but I don't like how she does this. And I also like how this Muslim speaks, but I don't like it. And I feel like there's too much picking and choosing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like you said, Islam is a journey. It's not like a pick and mix for when you feel like.
And I think Islam is a journey, and we should allow people to, you know, to have their own journey. And at the end of the day, it's a scary thought, but at the end of the day, you know, the final judgment lays with Allah, and mm-hmm. you know, we can't be the ones, you know, you can advise for good, and you can advise, you know, if you feel comfortable. Obviously, there's a certain way, a way to advise, but I don't think, you know, we should be chucking around these judgments, because, yeah, you know, who does it help at the end of the day? It just causes more hatred, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think if that message is instilled in the youth, if they're told, like, look, you know, this is what's out there. We're not telling you to go to that, but it's there. And if you want to go down that route, fine. But just remember that, you know, their Islam isn't your Islam. Their identity is not your identity. And I think that's what's really important. I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, obviously I can't blame, like, I don't think second generation can really blame their parents, because obviously they knew no better. But when I was growing up, like, I was told to be a Bengali girl at home, and then I was told to be, like, I grew up in a very, very, you know, white area. My family was the only Asian family in that area. I grew up from, like, the age of, like, nursery right up until year 11, I was the only brown kid in town and in school. So at school, I was, like, you know, the only brown kid there, and I used to have, like, funny clothes, and I used to eat funny food, and I used to have, like, different holidays to everyone, and I was constantly like, oh my goodness, what am I, like, 363 days of the year, excluding the two Eids, I was, like, you know, living in this white society. And then I'd come home in the evening and I'd be this completely different person. And I grew up, like, thinking, like, where do I fit in? Why can't I combine both of them? And I feel like most of the time, that's, even in multicultural societies, like, I feel like that's what's happening still. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I've had a complete different, I've got a complete contrast when it comes to childhood, because I grew up in an area, so Birmingham's quite, like, a lot of the, like, the black ethnic minority community, mm-hmm, is kind of, we're all in one area, if that makes sense. So okay. I grew up in a school that was, like, 95%, like, BAME community, basically. Mm-hmm. BAME being black and minority ethnic. And so, for me, it was seeing all these different experiences that people were having. So we had families, you know, you had, like, single parent families, and you had you had recently immigrated families, and, you know, most people's parents, you know, were not, like, of the wealthiest background. But in a way, like, I was, because then that was a complete contrast to my secondary school, which was very, 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 very mixed. And for the most part, it was... for the most part, there wasn't many of us, like, from, like, the BAME communities. So I think for that, I was almost grateful, because I had that sort of, like, grounding from when I was younger, like, appreciating the sort of almost the blessings that we had. And, like, even though we never had a lot, like, you know, it was still enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then comparing it to, like, a secondary school, which is where, like, most people, you know, they were pretty well off. And it was nice, because it was nice to just experience, I guess, both worlds. But also, like, it throughout that whole time, I was sort of, like, discovering the sort of person that I am. And I think I've definitely changed a hell of a lot since I was younger. Yeah. Like, if you asked me to do this podcast, like, even 4 years ago, I'd say no, because, like, the idea of speaking in public to me just stresses me out. But alhamdulillah. But, like, it's just, you know, experiencing, you know, all this, and seeing the different this sort of the upbringings and the lives that people lead, is a privilege to see it. And I think I think it shapes you as a person as well.
Great. Okay, so I mean, going backtracking a little bit to what we were speaking about earlier about, like following your Islam and having a journey, how do you feel about the term Islamic identity?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah, it's just, like, a term. I'm
such a person. It's just, like, it's just a term. It's semantics, isn't it? It's just, yeah. And Islamic identity is me being Muslim, right? Mm-hmm. So, sometimes I feel like I can't think of a more formal way of saying it. We deep it a bit too much.
Yeah.
So, like, it's okay externally. Yeah, I'm visibly Muslim. I wear hijab, and, you know, I wear hijab, and, like, you know, I pray five times a day, and you know, I do all these actions. But internally, your Islamic identity is your conviction in faith. Mm-hmm. And you can have this whole external identity. It's just putting on a piece of cloth on your head and, you know, heading out the house and doing the same ritual that your parents brought you up doing. But, like, for example, I wore hijab from, the age of 12. But it wasn't until I was, 15 and 16. And it wasn't forced upon me either. Like, my parents, they never, ever forced hijab upon me or anything like that. But I made that sort of choice. It's weird. I made that choice because I kind of wanted to start wearing it in a new environment. So I started wearing it in secondary school where people would be, less... More like, you know, what's the sudden change in identity? Funny enough. Like I was saying, I didn't understand the, why I wore hijab properly until I was, 15, 16, 17. But it's... I've lost my track of thought. What was I saying?
But essentially, it was... Because it was for the sake of Allah, right? That is the Islamic identity.
So exactly. So everything that you do is for the sake of Allah, and that's a given. That is what your Islamic identity is. So, and I think that's something that we should never forget. You can do these many actions, but they can become very robotic very quickly. And if we don't constantly remind ourselves why we're doing what we're doing, then, you know, a lot of that khushu and a lot of that happiness is almost lost. And you know, that's where almost you have an Islamic identity crisis, because you're failing to understand, you know, your position as a Muslim. And that's something you sort of have to work on with yourself.
Cool. Okay. So, I mean, I'm labeling here again, but what would you say as a Muslim student is fundamental to your identity?
As a Muslim student, I think for me, at the end of the day, you know, we're living in the UK, right? And me being a Muslim student, I think it's important that I hold on to the Muslim part of the fact that I'm a student. Because, you know, if we go on and we go on to make changes and be leaders in our fields of whatever we're studying, then, you know, that in itself is da'wah. Like, I don't necessarily think, obviously, you know, going out and, you know, expressing Islam and showing the beauty of Islam is great, but almost we forget that you've got the almost implicit da'wah that we do, and that is through our jobs and through our work and through the actions that we have. And you know, we Muslims can be normal people, so just being myself is important. And just I think as a Muslim student being at university, I think it's important that I held on to that. And it's nice because even for example, being part of the Islamic Society, my course mates, they weren't necessarily Muslim, but they would ask me what's going on with the ISOC. It's funny because it's just they want to know more about you, and if being Muslim is part of you, I don't think you should hide that.
Yeah, it's open and free, secret dawah, do you know what I mean? In everything that you do, you especially a female Muslim, you are essentially an ambassador of what you what you are, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
So I mean, sometimes having an identity, as we were saying, belongs to group or label. So for Muslims, it's belonging to the religion of Islam, so etc. But sometimes this is kind of related to self-esteem or confidence. You know, what are your thoughts on this, about self-esteem and confidence around your identity?
It's self-esteem and confidence is one. It's one of those things that affect your identity a lot. Actually, if you don't have a high enough self-esteem, then it's very, very difficult for you to find your own identity, because then you feel like you can't be yourself. And I feel like I said that quite a lot in this entire recording, in this entire podcast. And if you don't respect yourself, if you don't it's kind of hippie sounding, but if you don't love yourself enough, then, you know, how do you expect society to like you. That's really badly worded. No, I need to word that properly.
No, I understand. I get that. Yeah, like it's almost like an element of respect, isn't it? If you don't respect yourself, how can you expect other people to respect you?
So that's exactly what I was trying to say. I don't know why I said love you. If you don't respect yourself, how do you expect other people to respect you?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's one of those things. But I think confidence as well. I think we're a bit harsh on ourselves. Self-esteem and confidence genuinely comes with time. Like it takes experience to mold you, and it takes you know, putting yourself out there, taking yourself out of your own comfort zones to develop that self-esteem, to develop that confidence. And even if you don't have the greatest self-esteem, it's fine. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not yourself. It just means that you need to accept yourself a bit more. You know, at the end of the day, you are who you are. Like, your mind is yours, your identity is yours, and you are the person that, you know, you are the person that you portray. So I think almost forgetting that is what causes us to have like a low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And even like confidence, like I don't necessarily think I'm the most confident of people. I've definitely developed confidence, alhamdulillah. And I think, you know, you pick up these skill sets as you go along, as you're in your education or outside of education, if you're not in education, if you're in the workplace, you know, you get put in, like, even doing like presentations or, you know, leading meetings or organizing things, you slowly build that confidence. And that's almost like external confidence that you have to portray, but then internal confidence also starts building up inside of you. So you start, you know, when you do something well, you know, you start believing in yourself a little bit more. And I think, again, like I said, these things come with time. So I don't think, you know, you're necessarily like behind or you're having a crisis if you don't feel like you're confident or you have high enough self-esteem.
Definitely. Okay. So what advice would you give to someone that doesn't feel like they know who they are or where they fit into society?
You need to take time to yourself, I think. It's something I always say, like, it's even, for example, with myself and like my friends and the people that I work with, we can burn out very, very quickly, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, when you're in any sort of activism field, and I guess Mina, you can relate to this as well. If you do way too much in like a short amount of time,
yeah,
you get very, very, very tired very quickly, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, it's like the mildest identity crisis. You start questioning, like, am I doing this right? Like, should I continue doing this? Is it even worth doing this? Is it worth the hassle? Blah, blah, blah. And I think similarly, I think the biggest advice I would give to anyone is take time out to yourself, man. Like, there's no other way I can put it. Like, you need to give yourself some time. That you need to give yourself self-care. No one else is going to look after yourself. No one else knows you like you know you. So, you know, you need to take time out. What I tend to do, I'm a scriber, so I like to write. So I guess sometimes, you know, just letting it all out helps as well. Mm-hmm. If you're not one comfortable to write, if you find someone that you can trust to talk to, then that's good as well. And sometimes just letting it all out and not repressing, you know, repressing it all inside. Otherwise, it can get very, very, very detrimental for you.
Yeah, I think it's also very, very important to be able to understand your feelings. Like, for example, being anxious about a piece of work could actually be rooted in the fact that you don't have a lot of self-belief. Or you know, feeling like you don't fit into society could actually mean because you're not doing what you really believe in or what you really want to do. And I feel like even myself and my own journey, I feel like understanding what my passions were and finding something that was even remotely similar to that to then develop into something, you know, bigger and be a part of something bigger. So I think being able to understand yourself is a skill that a lot of people should develop, or a skill that a lot of people need to, you know, get in touch with and train, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think I think if you can nail that skill, then you've got life under your thumb. Like, it's I think it's very, very difficult to sort of to become accepting But once you do, you know, it's not like eternal bliss. Like, life isn't eternal bliss, but, you know, at least you've got like a bit of ease inside of you.
Yeah. And I think it's important, especially, you know, with the digital age and social media taking over our lives, and, you know, all these people who come across as having the perfect life, that, you know, they get everything they want, they do whatever they like. I think it's important to remember that that's not what it's actually like. It's probably nothing like that. You pick and you choose what you want to put up on. You filter you filter so much out of one photo or one video, and, you know, you cut and you edit, and that's not what it actually is. I mean, like, it's on social media to entertain. It's the purpose to entertain. It's not the purpose to imagine or dream about, you know?
Yeah, 100% I agree. I think I saw something once, and it was like, you might have me on Twitter, but you don't know my mind. You might have me on Facebook, but you don't know what I'm thinking. You might have me on Instagram, but you definitely don't know what I'm feeling. So it's just things like that. You know, they're just, it's almost like you can build a facade and still not be happy. Yeah. Like, I think even comparing yourselves to people on social media, or even comparing yourselves to other people, it's just, don't do it, because like everyone has ups and downs in their lives. It's just that not everyone likes to show their down parts. If, you know, no one wants to like highlight what's going negatively in their life. It's not something people like to do. And I think it's worth reminding yourself that, otherwise, you know, you're gonna, if you just keep comparing, then it's just gonna become like very sad upon yourself.
Yeah. Brilliant, mashallah. Is there anywhere our listeners can find you or get in contact with you if they wish to do so?
I'm like an average person. I don't really have any. I mean, you can send me an owl if that exists. No, I was joking. I guess. I don't know. I don't really have any way of contacting. I guess if they really, really want to get in contact, they can contact you guys, and you can put them in contact with me.
All right, inshallah. Great. Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? I feel like we've said identity so many times in the space of 40 minutes. It's crazy. But are there any closing comments that you'd like to, you know, talk about identity or anything?
No, not really. I think we've said identity and identity like 50 million times. I think, coming from a Muslim student, I think to all the other Muslim students, to all the young Muslim females, just be yourself, and, you know, have good friends, be around people that make you a better self as well. And, you know, just take time out for yourself as well. So, yeah, I think that's the best advice I can give.
Brilliant. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for your participation today, mashallah. It's been such a pleasure listening to you.
Jazakallah khair for having me, Minha.
To any of our listeners, if you'd like to pass on a question or a comment or anything to Mashuda, you can email us at info@inspirationminds.org.uk and we will pass it on to inshallah. If you have any ideas for future podcasts or would like to feature as a guest, please do email info@inspirationminds.org.uk. And until next time, we pray that Allah makes us righteous and proud members of this ummah. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, Daffiruni, Daffiruni. A mighty task has come before me. I need you here with me, by my side, by my side, by my side.